In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin these services in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, holy and righteous God, we have so many reasons to bring our humble thanks unto you for all that you do on our behalf. We thank thee, dear Father, for the many blessings that you have granted into our lives, our health, our work, our families, and the many joys that we receive as your children. But we also wish to thank you for the countless of blessings that we do not recognize, but yet through faith we understand that there are so many blessings that you give into our lives that we fail to see. But nevertheless, we wish to bring our humble thanks unto you also for the things that we do not recognize. Dear Father, we wish to thank you for this most precious gift, the gift of living faith, and for your dear Son that you gave for us to suffer and die, so that we one day would have the hope of eternal life together with you in heaven. As we gather around your holy and undying word this evening, dear Father, we pray that you would grant unto your poor servants words of wisdom and grace, whatever you see that we need at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but I think this might still work. I will read the Word of God that is recorded in the fifth chapter of Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians. I will read verses 22 and 23 in Jesus' name as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. I don't know much about the Galatians as people, but they were located in Asia Minor, which would be modern day Turkey. And these letters that Apostle Paul has written after the Gospels, they have been written after Jesus had died. And I believe that in the beginning, in the book of Acts, prior to these epistle letters, Jesus was still alive in the beginning of the book of Acts. But now, Apostle Paul had been sent to, I suppose you could say, to bring the gospel unto the Gentile nations. It had been proclaimed for the most part to in the Gospels and to a certain degree also the book of Acts to the Jews. But as we remember, Jesus told his own to go and preach the gospel to all mankind. And I believe that when this text is taking place, that Jesus had been he had gone back up to heaven probably close to 30 years ago when Apostle Paul is writing this. So these words that we heard for our text, they are instructions and encouragement to the early Christian church in that part of the world. And so Apostle Paul is writing to a certain amount of churches in Galatia. And he also went there. I believe it might have been his second mission trip. He went to visit the people in that region. And when I studied that for a little bit, or any time that one left their home congregation to go elsewhere, especially to foreign nations, to speak of the goodness of God, that what was it? Why did they leave? What made them decide to leave? Now, through faith, we understand that's God wanted them to go at that very time. And it was also interesting in our last Bible class how it was mentioned how we believers today, how the central organization had this question that when do we and where do we go to speak of God's goodness to other nations. And it was mentioned how, and it hit me how simple it was that our central organization received a letter from Africa that could we please send them somebody there to preach the Word of God. And so it all began. And now there are in the different continents that that did not have this organized services and so forth, that there are perhaps thousands of them spread around in different locations throughout the world. So also there we can trust that was God's time, and God sent those believers there to speak God's word unto them, and so many of them repented. When Paul begins this letter to the Galatians, in the very beginning of the letter, he says that Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So here he recognizes that it is not by his own choosing or doing that he is an apostle of God, but it is all God's doing. And then he begins to speak to them. Now remember, this is a fresh congregation, a newly formed congregation that he writes this letter to. So they had been believing for a little while, and Apostle Paul tells them that, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So here, Apostle Paul is instructing them and teaching them and encouraging them to stay on the narrow way that leads to heaven. And this is what we do even today. For thousands of years, the same encouragement, and sometimes it is rebuke, instruction to continue to travel in God's kingdom, not according to the mind of man, but according to the Spirit of God. Now, Paul says that some of them have begun to rely on a different gospel. It doesn't clarify what this different gospel is. But if we would put this into our time, what would a different gospel be to us? First, we have to understand that the gospel can be defined in many different ways, but one of them is that it is a good message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also the gospel that we preach to one another, that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. That is the good news of what Jesus has done for our behalf. So if we would concentrate on this word, a gospel, and which is so vital for our life of faith, it strengthens our faith. And I think for myself, without the gospel, I don't know where I would be. It does it does strengthen me, and it does give me at least a moment of peace. And maybe you have experienced that also. But if we were to think that we would receive this false peace or freedom in another way than by preaching through the Spirit of God that our sins are forgiven, we could think of the, for example, many believe today that once you are baptized, that then you are acceptable to God. That it is the action of baptizing with water that makes one acceptable and holy. That would be one way to rely on a different gospel. And we know as believers that it does not save us. Another would be that we would come to the Lord's Holy Supper, and through that bread and wine, we would receive our sins forgiven. The Bible doesn't teach that either. That would also be to be relying on a different gospel. And I talked to one brother recently. In fact, it was this morning. How he related that he remembers a time almost 60 years ago, when Christianity in Finland had a heresy, and how there were those that thought that anyone, even those unbelieving priests, that they can also forgive sins to a believer. And I think that would also be one of those that Apostle Paul here, says that they are believing on another gospel, but Apostle Paul says that there is no other gospel, that there is only one gospel, and that is the gospel according to the Spirit of God and with the power of God's Spirit. If one does not have the Holy Spirit within them, how can they free us from sin? And then Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians in our text, and he continues to write to the same people. And he speaks of the fruits of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. God gives these fruits into the heart of a child of God. And maybe it is so that we don't see that we have these fruits in ourselves, but others recognize them much easier. And one of them, the first one that Apostle Paul mentions here, the fruit of love, which we already heard through our dear brother this morning. The dual command of God. And how we are to love God with all our mind, our soul, our whole being, we are instructed to love God. But then the dual command, which also adds the love our neighbor. And how we heard that we cannot love our neighbor if we do not love God. That they are so closely attached to one another. And I think you, brothers and sisters, you have felt, you have been recipients of the love of God, not only in your own home. There might be times when you feel that you are receiving more than you deserve. I know I have many times. But also when you come to services, when you speak to other believers here, when you go visit other congregations, you feel the love of them toward you. But also you that have been in different countries and have never seen the people that you meet. But when you both realize that you are both believing the same way, there is this special love that ties you together. It is so special that you cannot describe it. And it is a very beautiful type of love that can only come from God. And then there is also joy, which is another fruit of the Spirit, as our text mentions. It is very important that we recognize, just as we heard this morning, that we are through and through, we are sinners. And it is also important that we don't get so down about the fact that we are so unworthy and sinful that it would hinder us to continue to believe. But that we would find these joys of being a child of God. That is also very important. And when we find these joys of being a believer, isn't it so that so many times we speak these unspoken thank yous to our Heavenly Father in different ways, that we are recipients of this unspoken joy that we can be a part of when we are God's children. And then the next one that Paul here mentions is peace. What type of peace is Paul meaning here? I'm not quite certain what Paul here means, but one thing I do know, and I think you also have experienced this, that there are times when it seems that life is moving so fast, and you go to different places and you hear different things and you see different things, and you need time to pause before God's Word and hear God's Word and believe it. And when we hear that peaceful and true message from God, it makes our restless mind and soul peaceful, at least for a moment. But also when we are burdened by sin, and maybe even a very serious sin, and we need to put our sins away, and when we hear that, dear brother or dear sister, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, does that not lay a blanket over you, and it feels like peace just covered your restless self? Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. The Bible has many examples of humbleness and the meekness of mind of a child of God. The author of this letter to Galatians, Apostle Paul, we're not going to go into his life too much, but he was in the beginning. In the beginning, when we heard of Saul from Tarsus, he was a very feared man. And he was not very meek or humble or long-suffering or gentle. In fact, he was the opposite of that. And when he was on his way to Damascus to receive even more power to capture and imprison believers, you remember how he was stopped there, blinded by the light, and he became blind. And he was instructed to go to a certain place. And when he was able to humble himself and believe his sins, all those serious sins forgiven, the scales fell from his eyes and he was able to see. And the Bible says that straightway he went to the synagogue and he spoke of the resurrected Christ. The very same people that had just witnessed him a week earlier, a few days earlier, speaking and with all his actions, warfaring against God and his children, now was speaking on their behalf and on behalf of Jesus. And they could not believe that this was the same man But now Apostle Paul was able to see with the eyes of faith. God had opened his understanding, which was so different from how he believed before. And he was able to see and understand the wisdom of God and God's Word. So in this transition, this boisterous, aggressive, and feared man became the opposite. He was compassionate. He was gentle. He was humble and he was meek. He even says in one of his letters that he is the least of all. He regarded himself as the smallest and the weakest and the least deserving to be a child of God. And I think we would say the same thing about ourselves. We know our tendencies. We know our thoughts. We know our sin corrupt selves. And I think we all would say that I am the least deserving to be in God's kingdom. But dear brother and dear sister, that is the mind. That is a mind of a believer. And here we help one another. One week one helps another week one. And we take one step forward, side by side, till we reach heaven. Jesus also had a very telling parable where that's probably very familiar to you. A parable of the Pharisee and the publican when they went on to the temple to pray. So we can imagine these two. There are two people in the temple. And the Pharisee went to the front of the church. And he prayed to God. And he thanked God that he is not as bad and has been more successful than some others. Now, if we look at this with our eyes of faith, that is not a mind of a child of God. I don't think there is one here this evening that would say that you have been more successful than someone else. You would not thank God that you are not as others are. But there are so many of these fruits of faith that we have. And one is that we recognize that we are sinners. We are corrupt beings, and we are in need of God's grace. But this Pharisee then begins to tell God the things that he does for God, because the law tells him that he needs to. And then there was this publican that was afar off. We can imagine that he was way further in the back of this temple, felt his own sinfulness. So much so that he wasn't able to lift his head. He was so weighed down by his own corruption. And all he could say that, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So when we look at this in this way, that we have not been we have been tried in our faith, and we have been weak. This publican in the temple, Apostle Paul, King David, they compared themselves to God. But how successful have I been? The Pharisee that was listing the items that he had done did not compare himself to God. But when we, brothers and sisters, this evening, when we compare our journey of faith to that of our Lord and Savior Jesus, isn't it so that we must bow our heads and say that be merciful to me, a sinner? And this is important to remember when we speak to another believer, maybe somebody who has is going through trials and difficulties of life. Maybe somebody has lost their house, their job. Maybe they have difficulties in their marriage. Whatever it is, we are no different than them before God. We are not more successful than them, but we are equally as sinful when they endeavor to believe. Before God, every child of God is in need of God's grace. And in this text also mentions faith. When I think of faith, my own faith, it seems like it is non-existent. And maybe you have had those times also when you wonder if you have any faith left, that there is no measurable amount of faith. But even that little trace is enough for God. And as we mentioned in the beginning, when Apostle Paul was speaking of the gospel, isn't it so that the gospel does give us ever so a little bit more? It strengthens our weak faith. So this evening, dear brother and dear sister, you can uplift your heart and strengthen your weak faith and believe that all your sins and doubts and failures are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. When they are spoken with the power of the Spirit of God, they have been forgiven also by God all the way in heaven. Can I also believe my many, many sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.